Welcome. A bonus Tribuna podcast this week after the midweek Bundesliga fixtures. Borussia Dortmund is off to a remarkable start, and their replacement for Ousmane Dembele, just what they needed. Cologne have yet to win a game this season. Are they going to struggle to stay in the Bundesliga? And we have our first sacked manager of the season. Well, that didn't take long. This is Tribuna Weekly. Dave Stanopdorp here with Matt Ford. Matt, take us through the match day.
German Federal League, Division 1, Match Day 5. Club for Physical Exercise, Borussia Mönchengladbach 2. Club for Agility Games, Stuttgart 0. Club for Physical Exercise, Wolfsburg Football 1. Sport Club Werder Bremen 1. Football Club Augsburg 1. Lawn Ball Sports Leipzig 0. Football Club Schalke 0. Football Club Bavaria Munich 3. The First Football Club of Cologne 0. Football Community Frankfurt United 1. The First Football Club of Mainz 0-5-2. Gymnastics and Sports Society 1899 Hoffenheim 3. Sport Club Freiburg 1. Hanoverian Sports Club of 1896, 1. Hertha Berlin Sport Club, 2. Bayer 04 Leverkusen, 1. Hamburger Sport Club, 0. Ball Games Club, Prussia 09 Dortmund, 3.
All right, let's start right there in Hamburg, because now Dortmund are back at the top of the table. They have not conceded a goal in 5 games. And Peter Bosch seems to have this team rolling to a level that we haven't seen in a long time. So, Matt, what do you take from their performances in the first 5 match days? Because this is something that's unprecedented.
Unprecedented mainly in the fact that it's almost gone unnoticed. That suddenly, after 5 match days, they are, like you said, top of the league, played 5, won 4, drawn 1, scored 13, conceded none. And no one seems to have noticed that suddenly Peter Bosch has walked in here and has potentially put together a title winning or at least a title challenge inside. It's been quietly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the game yesterday, at least parts of it, and Andrei Yarmolenko looked really, really good. Christian Pulisic basically makes the Ousmane Dembele transfer look even better for Dortmund, especially since Dembele is now hurt with Barcelona. And it's interesting because before you would watch Dortmund and you could clearly tell that Aubameyang was on a level much greater than the rest of the team. But now it seems like other players are becoming superstars.
They've always done really well at replacing players. I think Dortmund have probably been one of the Bundesliga teams who have recognised this idea of a Bundesliga food chain better than most. Obviously, they recovered from losing the likes of Lewandowski to Bayern by bringing in Aubameyang, who's been, like you said, head and shoulders above everyone else. And now, obviously, losing Dembele in the way they did, they obviously recognised that they couldn't keep hold of him. They recognised their position, but acted quickly to bring in Yarmolenko, who I believe the sporting director, Michael Zorc, had been attempted to sign him on 2 previous occasions. And obviously he's got his man this time, and like I said, he's been absolutely outstanding. He complements Pulisic out on the left and Aubameyang up top absolutely perfectly. I've not seen the full action from last night yet, but I was in London for the game against Tottenham. And I was in Dortmund for the 5-0 win over Cologne. And Yarmolenko on both occasions was absolutely outstanding. We have to talk about that goal he scored at Wembley, the way he cut in onto his left foot and fired that screamer into the top corner. It was an outstanding finish. And against Cologne, he showed that he's got so much more to his game as well. I'm not going to claim that I watched him loads when he was playing over for Dynamo Kiev, but he was always a name on people's radars, I think. I always had him down as a player who, yes, he had pace, yes, he had power, yes, he had a fearsome shot. But against Cologne, he was bringing little tricks, little turns, little bits of skill into his game. There was one step over inside the box where he left the poor Cologne left back Janusz Horn. He's only a kid, the poor lad. He left him absolutely with twisted blood. So he's got so much more to his game. And one other issue which I would bring into it is that he's a slightly different sort of Dortmund signing. He's 27 years old. He's an experienced campaigner on the on international level and at Champions League level with Kiev. But I think Bosch said he doesn't need to talk to him. This is a player who knows what's expected of him. He doesn't need looking after. He doesn't need speaking to on the training pitch every day. He's a pro, and he's brought a real touch of quality to Borussia Dortmund.
That's a very great point. The fact that they obviously wanted to go with more experience in the signing. They said it when they made the signing. But Dortmund, like you said, is a team that has invested in young talent for the last 2 or 3 years. Just in young talent, trying to find that next player that if they have to lose him, they would lose him for a bunch of money because he would be a young budding star, and they would make him into a young budding star. But this is a player that clearly, I mean, he's 27 years old. He's not a 19 year old, but still it can provide that like electric presence that a new signing can have at Borussia Dortmund. And that's what I think is the most impressive part about all of this. Now, I did watch him a little bit in Kiev, and I was always impressed with the fact that this guy is rather tall for a winger, but still has incredible, incredible skill. I mean, there was one step over that he had also against Lewis Holtby, and Lewis Holtby, all he could do was just foul him, and it was just a little shimmy, and it didn't seem like a guy of his size should basically fool a player that's so much shorter than him, and probably it would seem more agile than him. But he is just so good with his feet. He has a very strong left foot. And like you said, I think you said it perfectly, he complements Christian Pulisic on the other side perfectly. And maybe even Marco Reus when he comes back. Maybe Yarmolenko is the one that's dropped, and Pulisic is going to have to be the player that has to wait his turn.
I think we'll see them. We'll probably see them switch as the season goes on, whether Pulisic sometimes starts on the right or Yarmolenko perhaps starts on the left. But that's the flexibility that Peter Bosch has now got. Moving on to Peter Bosch himself. Briefly, I believe he's now reached an historic landmark of having gone 5 games in his first Bundesliga games, first 5 games in the Bundesliga without conceding a single goal. That's incredible. And he seems to have a very set, very solid 4-3-3 formation. Like we said, Aubameyang, Pulisic, and Yarmolenko up front. So although the system itself seems quite set and quite solid, I think he has the players there to be able to switch it around a little bit as well as the season goes on.
Now, of course, I know this is kind of a daft comparison to make because it's one that wasn't successful and then was successful before. But I was reminded of when Dieter Hecking took over for Andre Schubert last year. The main thing that Dieter Hecking did was basically just simplify things. He had a set system, a set 4-4-2 system, did not try to do three at the back, did not try to get too creative with his wingers. And Gladbach conceded less goals because of it and was much better going forward, which was much more direct. I kind of see the same thing here with Dortmund and the fact that, Tuchel's sides were so attacking and they were so complex in the way they were supposed to be in specific positions at specific times. And now you see Peter Bosch come in. It's much more loose. It's much more simple. It's a 4-3-3 formation that he used at Ajax and he's installed it and the players have really taken to it. And I think that's such a great compliment to Bosch as a coach to get players to buy into his system after basically being much more maneuverable under Thomas Tuchel.
Obviously, you mentioned Tuchel, and I think maneuverability was certainly key under Tuchel, but that was probably, by the end, one of the main criticisms of him from within the squad and from some sort of critics looking in. There were moments when he was going through 3, 4, 5 tactical systems in a single game. Now, that's not to say that Thomas Tuchel doesn't know what he's talking about. He's clearly an extremely good coach and he clearly knows what he wanted to get out of his team, but there were other limitations which we've discussed before and we'll probably end up speaking about again once he gets a new job. But yeah, Bosch has come in and simplified that. And I think that's probably something that the Dortmund players themselves probably appreciate a bit more, because I don't think you can put too high a price on the idea of a team being comfortable, being compact, being absolutely sure of what's expected of them. And in the system that Bosch has got them playing in at the moment, that's precisely what they have. The only issue hanging over them would still be defensively, I think. It's all about doing what they're doing in the Bundesliga, but Tottenham at Wembley, the like with Christian Eriksen and Harry Kane, they cause them huge problems. So that's one area which you might have to look at.
Yeah, I think I think defensively, they were exposed defensively in the Champions League, definitely. But I think overall, these are the same players that were playing last year, and suddenly they're not conceding any goals. So that's definitely down to something that the coach is doing. And just imagine, Julian Weigl has not started a game yet, and he's one of the best defensive midfielders in the German game.
He's also come back from an extremely serious injury, and obviously he came on against Cologne. I believe when the score was the score 3-0 or 4-0 at the point he came on. I'm not sure. It's obviously a nice game to ease him back into when the game was as good as done. But obviously he started on the bench last night, and he could have difficulties getting back into that midfield. Last night they started with Kagawa, Shahin and Castro in the centre. Shahin's had an absolutely outstanding start to the season under Bosch after enduring a difficult time under Tuchel. Castro is, he's 30, 31 or older. So another experienced campaigner, Kagawa 2. So there'll be room for Weigl as he gets his fitness back and as he works his way back into the team. So I'd have no worries there.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about it off air. I believe that Julian Weigl is eventually going to take Nuri Sahin's spot. I don't know if Nuri Sahin will be played as an 8 rather than a 6, but he's done extremely well as a 6, and it's really great for Dortmund that they have two 6s, because there were times last year when Julian Weigl was playing, they didn't have anybody that could come in and replace him. And now Julian Weigl's going to have trouble coming back into this team. That's just remarkable. Now, I know that he's injured, but if he rekindles any kind of form that he has had the last two seasons, then Dortmund have a really big embarrassment of riches. And this is remarkable for a team that is known for selling players.
And the key is that they've now got this a good mixture of experience and youth in that team. So, yeah, they've quietly been doing everything absolutely correctly so far, and I'm excited to see how they continue with that. Right, so my topic this week is going to be Cologne. I feel like I've done them to death over the past couple of weeks, but that's probably because they've been playing like death.
They're not boring, so...
not boring. Well, I'm not sure how I'd describe that, but it's been going simply from bad to worse. And I was at the ground last night against Frankfurt. Just as I was in Dortmund at the weekend, I saw them beat 5-0. Saw them beat 3-1 in London as well. And like I said, it's going from bad to worse. Where do we start? This is not just an issue of them having lost 25-goal Anthony Modeste. I think it goes a lot deeper than that. Yes, you're going to struggle to replace not only Modeste's goals, but also the way he plays. He was such a handful, and he offered so much more than just being the big target man up front. He scored all sorts of goals, little flicks. He scored goals with his head. He scored goals from the edge of the box. He was totally unpredictable, and even when Cologne found themselves struggling to break teams down last season, they ended up getting wins out of it because Modeste was just this unpredictable beast up front who was scoring all sorts of goals for them. So yes, they've lost that. They also profited hugely last season from the fact that Gladbach, Schalke, Leverkusen and other usual competitors for those sort of top half spaces from fourth down to eighth or ninth had absolute shockers, and Cologne were able to capitalise on that. Obviously that's not the case this season, and this time it's Cologne who are going to have to deal with being in European competition and not the other three. So all of that has sort of contributed to, in my opinion, Cologne basically getting a little bit ahead of themselves and thinking that the squad is better than it is. And I did say at times last season, I think a lot of people mentioned it, that squad on paper was nothing more than a very average Bundesliga squad, except for perhaps, okay, Jonas Hector, German international. That's quality. That's undisputed. Timo Horn in net, an undisputed top three Bundesliga goalkeeper. No worries there. After that, you're struggling. You're going to struggle to name a single international quality player in that Cologne squad. Perhaps Leonardo Bittencourt on the left. He's always injured. So the squad has certainly got ahead of themselves, and that, in its turn, has, I think, led to developments off the field in Cologne getting ahead of themselves as well. Cologne struggled financially for years when they were up and down, for the past two decades. They're financially more stable now, and that's largely in thanks to Alexander Werler, who's come in and done a good job behind the scenes financially. But you do get the impression that it's gone to their heads a little bit. They've had mass marketing campaigns and even a pre-season tour, which is what the likes of Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich are doing, not FC Cologne. They only came back to the Bundesliga in 2014. You can't get away from the fact that they are a very, very marketable club. There's a huge support. They're from a big city. They're from a very accessible city, a very friendly city. They have a goat as a mascot. They like carnival. It's a very marketable club. It lends itself very, very well to marketing campaigns. But get it right on the pitch first. And then that brings us back to Modest. Yeah, it's not the be-all and end-all, but they've not replaced him. €17 million on John Cordoba. Okay, he's not a bad striker, and no one's saying that he's going to score 25 goals, and you can even argue that he actually brings a bit more than Modest. I think he links up play a little bit better, and maybe he just needs that goal to that Bundesliga goal to bring him into form, and he did show in the game against Arsenal with that incredible turn and shot from 40 yards out that he has an eye for goal. There's no question in that. He knows where the goal is. He's got that instinct, so there's no question in that. But in general, yeah, the quality is simply not there in that Cologne squad. And given the situation they were in, €35 million in for Modest and back on the international stage, you have to ask, could sporting director Jörg Schmatke have done better in the transfer market? And I do believe that Peter Stöger wasn't too happy.
I think it doesn't, obviously you said it several times, it doesn't just stop with Modest. On the field, I would say they also did not address their defense. They've always been known for their defense. Ever since they came back up to the Bundesliga, they've been one of the best defensive teams.
So many 0-0 draws and 1-0 wins. Yeah, they were solid, if anything.
Exactly. That's how they would grind results out. That's exactly how they would grind results out. And the most shocking thing to me is that they have allowed 13 goals. I mean, they've only scored one, but Cologne doesn't score very many goals.
So even that was a centre back, Sørensen, scrambling it over the line at the last minute against Hamburg. So I'm not even sure that counts.
Exactly. So their defense is almost more worrying to me because, I mean, I know one goal in five games is not a good mark at all, and that's definitely something that needs to change. But this is a team that's a hallmark defensive team, and the fact that they lost or they did not replace Dominic Moreau either. They did not replace American Mavrai either. I mean, they decided to sell him in the summer. And obviously, they haven't replaced Neven Subotic. So those are three center backs. That's a huge amount of depth that they don't have anymore.
And yet, it's not like Dominik Heinz and Fredrik Sørensen weren't playing last season. But in the defeat away at Augsburg this year, I mean, it ended up 3-0. It could easily have been 3 or 4 at halftime. The defense was all over the place.
I would say, though, that Fredrik Sørensen was a little bit protected in the fact that he would either play in a back three with Heinz and someone like Moreau or Mavrai or Subotic, or he was playing as a right back. He actually wasn't playing as a center back. But now he has all this defensive responsibility and really nobody there to protect him. Not because like the midfield is just got remarkably worse, but just because there's nobody else in the squad. Now, Cologne have always had a small squad. They've always had a squad of around 22, 23 players. So maybe they couldn't afford to bring in a center back, or maybe they didn't want to. They wanted to keep the squad smaller. But at the same time, you have to compensate somehow for the fact that you have not really addressed your defense in the transfer market, whether it's Jonas Hector playing in midfield from now on and having Konstantin Rausch on the left, or I don't know. I mean, also you have to keep in mind that Kevin Vogt isn't around anymore. Yannick Gerhardt isn't around anymore. Those sales didn't hurt last year, but they definitely hurt this year. Now, off the field, it was interesting that you say that the success has kind of gone to their head, because before the season, they were preaching the fact that, oh, we just want to be back in ninth position. We're not trying to gun for the Champions League. We're not trying to do anything outside of what we're expected to do. But at the same time, it seems like they tried to become this new diva club, and that's a very interesting polarization where you don't want to aim for the Champions League, but yet you're acting like a Champions League club.
And now it's starting to look extremely serious. It's not going to be long before they start looking considerably adrift at the bottom of the league. Football moves on extremely quickly. It won't be long before that gap starts developing. Last night in Cologne, there were the first rumours, the first whispers of relegation battle being bandied around the South Stand. Some of the fans weren't happy in Dortmund at the weekend with the 5-0, but I think everything's just sort of remained within its boundaries in Dortmund, because they'd all just got back from London. Okay, 5-0 was a bit of a hammering, but I think there was an understanding that, right, okay, we've had our biggest of it week. Let's not get on the players' backs too much. But there was a minority down at the bottom of the away end who were clearly not happy when the Cologne players approached them at the end. And those sort of dissenting voices were audible again last night. And as much as we praise Cologne for their fanatical support and the numbers they travel in, they are well known to have... There is a troublesome element there. And if they're not happy, I wonder how far it will go before a real... genuine crisis starts developing there.
Now, I hate to jump the gun too soon because we're only 5 match days in, but the fact that they have 0 points, we have to bring up the discussion.
We have to start talking about it.
Are they going to be relegated?
Are they going to be relegated? At the moment, I'm going to say no. I think they might just have enough, but it's going to have to turn around quickly. I'm not sure if that's going to be holding on till winter. And then spending some money in the transfer market, where obviously the prices will have gone up and everyone knows how desperate they are, or whether it's a question of when does that question start coming up, as do they try and do what Gladbach did when Lucien Favre struggled 2 seasons ago when he lost his first 5 games and they replaced him with Schubert? At what point, I'm not saying it's now, I'm not saying it's next week, but at what point does the question come up and the questions start being asked of Jürg Schmatke and Peter Stöger?
I think they have the discipline and the know-how to be able to get results again, because that's basically what these two guys have done since the second division. But like you said, they're on a short leash now.
Yeah, they can quickly find themselves in trouble. Really good.
So Matt, it's match day 5 and we already have a new coach in the Bundesliga. Of course, Andreas Janker got fired after Wolfsburg's disappointing result against Stuttgart, and Martin Schmidt, who apparently they tried to approach over the summer, took over. And it seems like there was first contact within a matter of hours, and then a few hours later he signed a contract. So it was obviously something that they had in their registry, but obviously they didn't consider bringing him in just yet. But now it seems like they're bringing him in 4 match days too late, which makes me beg the question, this seems weird, doesn't it?
It does seem a little bit strange, but I mean, I think when we're talking about Wolfsburg, they are quite a strange club in quite a strange town, to put it lightly. I don't think this change... the whole issue here is that it's not necessarily that Andreas Janker was definitely the wrong man and had to go, nor is it the case that Martin Schmidt is definitely the right man, have to bring him in. And it's not the case vice versa either. I think both those managers would have done a decent enough job. Schmidt did a great job at Mainz until they started struggling balancing Bundesliga and Europe, but apart from that, he did well with them. He comes from the same sort of coaching school as Tuchel, replaced him at Mainz, and Klopp before him. So I don't think there's anything particularly bizarre or particularly wrong about his appointment. Was Andreas Jonker always considered just a stopgap last season, just to keep them in the Bundesliga, which he ultimately did via the playoffs? I don't know. Perhaps they never considered him to be a long-term solution.
Well, if they never considered him to be a long-term solution, why didn't they find a long-term solution before the season? That's what's so weird to me.
Which begs the question, what's going on in the background?
Now, maybe they wanted Martin Schmidt to be the long-term solution, and he said no, because, as he said in his press conference, he wanted to basically give enough time out of respect for Mainz, although I don't think 4 match days makes much of a difference.
I found that a strange comment as well, yeah.
It makes much of a difference whether you're going to offend a club or not, but it's just... if he's not the solution at the long term, they had the whole summer to try to replace Andreas Jonker. Now, he clearly wasn't the right man, because even though he did keep them up, he hasn't actually really done that well at Wolfsburg. I mean, all he basically did was said, hey, put the ball into Mario Gomez and he's going to score, and that's how we're going to win games now.
There was a period where it combined Jonker's games with Gomez at Wolfsburg plus his games with Gomez at Bayern back in the day, something like 8 or 9 games and 8 or 9 Gomez goals. So that's obviously a dream pairing that worked quite well for a while.
Yeah, so but then Mario Gomez gets hurt, so we couldn't have anticipated that Mario Gomez, a guy that's in his 30s, might actually get injured, and this whole simple scheme might just completely fall apart.
Even rumors of bringing back Edin Dzeko yesterday.
Yeah, that too. I mean, it's just...
Classic,
it's just,
Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg has been gone from this like very forward-thinking club under Klaus Allofs to new ambitions that they've never even dreamed of before. I mean, of course, they've won the title, but these new Champions League ambitions, playing Real Madrid in the quarterfinal, to now, they bring in Martin Schmidt, who is like a small club mentality guy. You know, he's not a guy that is a European manager. He doesn't have much experience in European competition. He had obviously brought Mainz to the Europa League, but he didn't do well with Mainz in the Europa League. So this is a small mindset manager for a club that is trying to be much more than that.
I think you've hit the nail on the head by talking about Wolfsburg's ambitions and Wolfsburg's aims. I think that's definitely on the right track. But of course, there's been a massive, massive change in Wolfsburg and at Volkswagen over the past 24 months since the emissions scandal. When that broke back in 2015, wasn't it? I think. Wolfsburg, the football club, immediately scrapped plans for their 40 million euro youth academy, and they were forced then to sell the likes of Julian Draxler, Kevin De Bruyne for huge money, much of which was rumoured to have gone to Volkswagen, given the huge fines they found themselves having to pay. Of course, Wolfsburg, the football club, is entirely relying 100% on its parent company, so that obviously threw them into difficulties. Yes, at the time, they were champions in 2009. They did come runners-up in 15. They won the cup as well in 15. That put them in the Champions League, where they knocked out Man United. They took a first-leg lead against Real Madrid. But that was all the Wolfsburg pre the effects of this emissions scandal and under Klaus Allofs. Since all that has happened, Olof's an experienced campaigner is out, replaced by Olaf Reber, 39, I believe he is, so a relatively young sporting director. And yeah, perhaps he's lacking experience, who knows, but they've certainly had to get used to dealing with bigger restrictions on the budget and a slightly lower level of player. So, yeah, I think you're totally right to say that Martin Schmidt is not a big-time Europa League, even Champions League coach, but are Wolfsburg, and is the city of Wolfsburg, and is Volkswagen, because the three all belong 100% together, and you have to speak of them as a trio, are they in a position to call themselves a European team at the moment? I don't think so. They scraped past Braunschweig in a playoff to stay in the league.
Yeah, I mean, what the one thing that seemed to make it look, even after this whole Volkswagen scandal, I mean, the fact that they were able to recruit Mario Gomez, I think, to me, showed that they still had big ambitions and they still wanted it. They were still able to attract German internationals. But at the same time, I mean, obviously Mario Gomez is not someone like Julian Draxler or somebody like Kevin De Bruyne who they were able to get, or even somebody like Luis Gustavo who they sold. And that's, and obviously they he's a very evident loss as well in that team. We have to definitely say that. But I just think that it is. I mean, like you said, this whole club is really weird in the fact that their fans know that they're. I think you said it one time. Their fans know that they're weird. But they
totally accept it. They're proud of their company team, and I think that's you can like or dislike company owned teams like Leverkusen and Wolfsburg as much as you like. But if you speak to people in Wolfsburg, they totally accept that they're a works team and they love it. It's their works team. They work for the company. They support the team. But the team's reliant on the company, and when the company gives them no money, they find themselves in trouble. And good luck to Martin Schmidt. I think it's. On balance, I think it's a good appointment. I think he'll be okay.
When he started at Mainz, he had a great start with Mainz actually, and he had this real strong counterattacking style that really it was at the time when there was a lot of tacticians in the league with Thomas Tuchel and Pep Guardiola. He was the perfect guy, just like Peter Stöger, to kind of counteract that. We talked a little bit about it a few weeks ago with Schalke and this counterattacking style of getting the ball up the field quickly. Martin Schmidt was one of the managers who was doing that, who was doing this counterattacking style. I think having someone like Divock Origi is perfect for that. I think they're not going to be able to counterattack with Mario Gomez on the field, at least very well, anyways. He is a very good manager to, at the very least, improve the locker room chemistry, improve the desire to try to grind out games, to give this team, basically give this team that has been in such flux in recent years with all the stuff that was going on off the field, to give them a little bit of heart when they come onto the field, when they put on their boots, when they put on their kits. So I think that in that sense, he's a really good appointment. But this is not a guy that is a remarkable tactician. He kind of, he's more of a guy that is really fitness-based. He wants his players to be very fit. He takes his players into the mountains so that way they can have high altitude.
I forgot about that, yeah.
In high altitude environments. So this is definitely a very different manager than Wolfsburg have had, and at least in a very long time. And that's why I'm actually so interested to see how he can succeed there, because I want Martin Schmidt in the league. I think the Bundesliga needs that different brand of football. But it's just weird that it's happening at Wolfsburg.
I think that this season there are enough other struggling clubs that I think Wolfsburg would have a chance. You're down the bottom, you look at Cologne, obviously struggling, we talked about them. Bremen also struggling again this season. Mainz, Freiburg also struggling. So it's not like Wolfsburg are in danger of being cut adrift down the bottom there. Good luck to Martin Schmidt.
That'll do it for this bonus midweek edition. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and be so kind to leave us a friendly review. You can also like our Tribuna Podcast Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Tribuna Podcast. You can follow Matt Ford at Matt_4 and the letter D. And I'm Davis_VanOptdorp. Before we go, here is our stat of the week. Christian Pulisic scored the third goal in Dortmund's 3-0 win over Hamburg. Not only did he become the sixth American with 7 Bundesliga goals, but he also scored Dortmund's 3,000th Bundesliga goal ever. How's that for a belated birthday present? Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you next week.